I want to share and start out today in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Start out there with me today. The sermon title today is Faith Demands Action. So faith demands action. So in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we look at verse 5, and verse 5 says this, "When I call remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." We know that the Apostle Paul was mentoring Timothy, and Timothy was going into the ministry, and of course the Apostle Paul, he saw the adversity that Timothy was going to face. And more than he needed, more than anything else, is that he needed to stir up this gift of God that was in him. And what is that gift that he was wanting to stir up in him? He was wanting to stir up that gift of faith. And he wanted to stir that up and enlarge it. He says that in verse 5, he says, "When I call remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Today, I want to stir up the gift of faith that is in you. The faith that you came to the knowledge of the truth and accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. In August, Carol and I got away for a couple of days. And she read a devotion to me on one of the mornings. She would read a devotion to me every day and we would talk about it. But the devotion was from Ann Graham Lotz, and I'm sure that many of you have heard of her. The story goes about like this, about a man that stretched a cable from one side of Niagara Falls to the other side. And day after day, he would tightrope from one side to the other, and people were astounded. After several days, he brought out a wheelbarrow. And he said, "How many of you believe that I can put somebody in this wheelbarrow and push them across?" And the people were yelling and cheering. Yes, they knew that he could do that. They believed him. They had been watching him do this, and they knew that he could do this. "We believe that you can." And then he asked him, "Well, who is willing to volunteer to get in the wheelbarrow?" Many times in our relationship, you think about it, with our relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ, he asks you to get in the wheelbarrow. He asks you to make that step of faith. In Ephesians 2:8, it says we are saved by our faith. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says that we walk by faith. Everything that we receive from God, we will receive it. How? By faith. We are saved by faith. We are healed by faith. We are delivered by faith. We receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, evidenced by speaking in tongues, by faith. Faith demands a response. The definition of faith is acting upon what you believe to be true. So when the Lord Jesus says to us, he says, "The worlds will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Do you believe that today? Do you believe that today? We say that we are a church that believes on the Word of God. We profess the Word of God, and we stand on the Word of God. And if we believe the Word of God and we say that there's no mistakes, there's no errors, that everything that is written in the Scripture is written for you and I today, then I can believe everything that is in this Word. Amen? Amen. Faith is acting upon what you believe to be true. And as saints of God, we believe that the Word of God is true. And because the Word of God is true, I can act upon it. And every time my action of faith, it will lead me to an unknown territory. When God asks you to do something, it is unknown because maybe you've never been there. I wanted to bring out Abraham, but it was just so many, many scriptures that Abraham was told to leave. What did Abraham do? He got up and he left. Abraham was told that he was to go up on the mountain. He was supposed to take his son, Isaac, and he was supposed to sacrifice. What did he do? He took Isaac up the mountain.
all those things that he responded to what God asked him to do. And God blessed Abraham, and he enlarged his life and enlarged his kingdom, or as we, if we want to say it, that they would be as numbered as the stars in the sky. Every time that God leads you into doing something and asks you to do it, it is an unknown territory. So when God impresses upon your heart that you're supposed to call somebody, you're supposed to reach out to somebody, you're supposed to pray for somebody, that's an act of your faith that you do just what God has called you to do. You may not know what's going on. It doesn't matter. You don't need to know what's going on. You just know that God has called you to do this. And there's too many people that are not willing in their life as Christians to get in the wheelbarrow. And you know what? You're still stranded right there on the other side of Niagara Falls. You can't get to the other side unless you get into the wheelbarrow. But our faith in God is not just a one-time thing. We don't accept Jesus and say, okay, I've got all my faith, I'm done. Our faith in God is an every-time thing. And every time it's leading us into a deeper, more intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. If we look at 2 Corinthians 5:7 a little closer, turn with me there, or Jonathan will put it up. 2 Corinthians 5:7. 2 Corinthians 5:7. This new Bible, my pages all stick together. 5:7 says this. It says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. But verse 7 says what? For we walk by faith and not by sight. For we walk by faith, not by sight. The seeing and believing aspect here even goes a little bit deeper and a little bit further to include when I understand it. Remember the story of the preacher coming to my house? I told you a long time ago, and many of you have heard it many times, that I started going to church. Carol invited me to go to church. I started to go to church, and I went to church, and I fought receiving Christ. I just could not make up my mind that I needed to get up out of my pew and walk down the front and accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, because the adversary kept pushing me back and kept pushing me back. I know what it is now. And accepting Jesus Christ is one of the easiest things that you'll ever do in your life, but it's one of the hardest things, because you have to make that conscious decision that you're going to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. Now, why is that so hard? Because the adversary wants to make it hard. The adversary wants to blind the mind of the unbeliever so they cannot know and know the knowledge of the truth. But the minister came to my house, and he wanted me to get saved so bad he even came to my house to talk to me about it. And I told him, I said, well, you know what? Once I get this Christianity thing all figured out, then I will make my decision then. Man's unmatched need to understand destroys the act of faith. You see, I was never going to get it figured out because it was spiritually discerned, and it would not be open, it would not be revealed to me by the Spirit until I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But man's unmatched need to understand destroys the act of faith, even among Christians. If we knew everything, we wouldn't need faith. Do you understand? When it comes to the spiritual and to the supernatural, you will never understand much of what God calls you to do. You might as well make up your mind about that right now. If you think that I don't know if I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I don't know about the speaking in tongues, I don't know about that evidence, I don't know about healing, I don't know about this, there is much in the Word of God that you are not going to know, because the Scripture says we look through a glass darkly. But do you believe? Do you believe the Word? That's what it asks us to do. It doesn't ask us to tear it apart. It doesn't ask us to scientifically study it and to figure everything out to where in our infinite or our finite minds that we can understand something. He asks us to walk by faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11 says this. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11 says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in the mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know, what? In part. But then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. What does it say? For we know, we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face, now I know in part, then I shall not know just, then I shall know just as I am also known. You're not going to know everything. God is not going to lay it all out for you. You have your understanding. You can say, oh, now I understand why you're asking me to do that, Father, because then that wouldn't take any faith. It would just take an action on your part. But the Lord asks us to step out in faith. And in your life, you need to be stepping out in faith. I don't care where you are at. I don't care what level of a relationship that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ. I can tell you right now that Pastor Leo needs to be stepping out in faith. You need to be stepping out in faith. Sometimes, many times, the unknown. But it's still the action of faith that you need to apply it to your life and to your walk that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now turn with me to John chapter 3. The Gospel of John in chapter 3. John chapter 3, it talks about Nicodemus, and many of you are very, very familiar with that story. But if we look at John chapter 3, we go to verse 1. John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. But which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Isn't it amazing? I mean, you just take that small portion of Scripture that we read right there. Do you understand salvation? Do you understand how God comes down and saves you because of your faith in Jesus Christ when you accept His sacrifice and the Spirit of God then comes down to dwell inside of your life and you become a brand new creation? Can anyone scientifically explain that to me? No, you cannot, because we look through a glass darkly. But He's asking us to step out in faith and do it, because I know that my Redeemer lives because He lives within my heart. Hallelujah. He goes on. He says, it's like the wind in verse 8. It blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. I have told you earthly things, and you did not believe. How will you believe it if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who comes down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes on Him should not perish but have eternal life. Now look at verse 4 again. In verse 4 it says, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Verse 9, look at verse 9. Verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? What was Nicodemus saying? Nicodemus was saying that I do not understand. Now turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it says, and when they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, the Spirit gave them utterance, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together, and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. They were amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of the Libya joining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues. And wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever can this mean? Others mocking, saying that they were full of new wine. What was the problem? Rather than receiving what God had brought to earth to bless them and to strengthen them, because they did not understand. And because they didn't understand, they refused to believe, and then they mocked it. Do you refuse to believe something because you don't understand it? Do you refuse to step out in faith in your relationship with the Heavenly Father because you do not understand it? Then you'll always be in the position that you are. God has led me and directed me and guided it as many times. I did not understand what the Lord was doing, but I stepped out in faith, believing and standing on God's word. If it is in God's word, it is for me. And if it's in God's word, it is for you. Peter tries to explain to them, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. These are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your young men shall see visions, the old men shall dream dreams, and on my maidservants, on my maidservants and men servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Hallelujah. That's the day we're living in right now. We're living in the book of Acts. It hasn't shut its cover yet. We're still living in the dispensation of grace. We're still living in the time of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to understand it. All you got to do is receive it, because you know from that God is going to strengthen you, that God is going to bless you, that God is going to anoint your life. Let me tell you, in all the churches in Marion County and all the churches across the United States, they need the Spirit of the living God, because if they don't have the Spirit of the living God in this day and age, they are going to dry up and blow away. We can come to church and sing two songs and have a quiet prayer, not believing whether that God is really going to minister in that need or not. You can hear me say something about how much that God loves you, how much that God cares you, have a closing prayer, and all go back out the door and say, boy, we had a great service today because we went to the house of the Lord, and the pastor sure said some special things. He sure made me feel warm and fuzzy all over. We want the Spirit of God to fall in this place every Sunday, touching hearts and lives and drawing people to the Lord Jesus Christ, because that is why God is drawing people to this church, and we never want it to stop. We are stepping off into the unknown in our relationship that we have with the Lord. God called us to build a church. We build a church. If the Lord would tarry and not return, what's going to happen in 5 years? What's going to happen in 10 years? I have no idea. But I know that every day we're going to walk in faith, and every day we're going to praise God, and every day we're going to lift up His name for everyone to be drawn to the holiest name of all names, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to do that until He comes. Turn with me to John 14. John 14. I got to move. John 14. We got a lot of scripture together, because there's something in here that you need to know as a believer today. John 14, verse 12. John 14 and verse 12. He says, most assuredly I say to you, he that believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And if you love me, keep my commandments, and I pray the Father, and he will give you what? Another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. John chapter 16, go over to John 16, verse 12. I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you unto all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is of mine, speaking of the Holy Spirit, declare it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine, and he will declare it unto you. The unsaved world does not understand you. They cannot understand you because it is spiritually discerned. And it is spiritually discerned and stays spiritually discerned until they accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So everyone that is an unbeliever today thinks we're just a little bit nuts when we come to church and we give an offering to the Lord, because they do not understand it. It's the Holy Spirit that draws them into a relationship with him. The Spirit says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And when we is drawn into that relationship and they accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then they understand. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, listen to the words that it shares with us in this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Verse 9, it says, but it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, if we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God, these things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14, but the natural man is an unsaved individual, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You can't receive it. So what you have, brother and sister, when you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a special gift. When you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that dwells within your life, because you're a small percentage of the people in the world that are walking today as the children of the Most High God, because that is discerned from them. The unsaved world does not understand. He cannot understand because they are spiritually discerned. As a believer, we have the indwelling of the Spirit to teach, to lead, to guide, and direct. Now listen to me. So does that mean, as a believer, I will understand all things and know the reason why God is asking me to do something all the time? And the answer is no. God has called us as believers to walk a walk of faith, not to walk a walk of sight and understanding. God calls us to build this church. We did it. What's going to take place? We don't know, other than we're trusting and believing in God. And we're going to keep believing and trusting in God. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. I told you I'd have a lot of scripture for you today. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Now listen to the words in verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the words, things which are seen, were not made of things which are visible. Do you understand that? I say by faith I do understand that. But if you want to bring human understanding and human wisdom into this situation, I will never understand how the worlds were framed together. It's amazing because we've got some amazing talented people and we've got some amazing talented ladies. All these beautiful dolls that they've made and these other things, it just blesses me every time I see them. But when they started making those, they had the material to make them out of. When God spoke the world into existence, He didn't need any material. He spoke it into existence. He said, it is, and it was. And He said, this is good. The Lord Jesus is going to come back in the battle of Armageddon, and we're going to come back with Him. And He's going to defeat the adversary. He's going to defeat the adversary, how? By the spoken word, because Jesus is the Word of God. He is a living Word of God. He will defeat them by His Word. And the Scripture that we see here today, in your faith walk with God, if you're trying to understand in your human wisdom and understanding, it will not work and it does not work. When you look at verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. You will become more confused and more unbelief will settle in when you try to figure things out rather than accept it. I believe this happens to many of your young people when they go to college because I think they're challenged to debate and to explain why they believe what they believe. And human wisdom and human understanding. And they come out of unbelievers because they can't explain it. Their faith in God. God said it, I believe it. God said it, I believe it. End of discussion. Verse 6 of Hebrews 11 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. But he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I don't know of one person that truly wants to go to hell. Oh, they may say that, but truly, do they really mean that? I don't know of one person that truly wants to go to hell. All want to go to heaven. And the only way that we get to heaven is through Christ by our faith. And how many are being held back by human understanding and they're not receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit because they don't understand it? They're not receiving healing because they don't understand it. It kills the Word of God through man's trying to understand. Did Abraham understand why he was moving to another country? Uh-uh. Maybe it's time for us to get in the wheelbarrow. I can't explain to you how much that God loves you if you don't want to believe it. I can't explain to you how much that God loves you that He gave His only begotten Son so you could have life if you can't receive it. If we have to understand in our human wisdom and be able to pick everything apart and lay it all out here on the table or on the floor so I can understand every aspect of it before I receive it, you will never receive it. Ever. The pastor told me, he says, Leo, you'll never understand it until you accept it. Do you accept what God has for each and every one of you today? I mean, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I don't want you to leave this place without knowing Him. And maybe that human understanding has held you up because you just don't understand it. And I'm telling you today by the Scripture and by a word of testimony that you never will understand it until you receive it. And when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what does He say? Then the Holy Spirit comes in your life as an indwelling to teach, to lead, to guide, to take what was of the Father and reveal it unto you. He wants to reveal that to you. Will you stand with me today? Father, we come before You today and we rejoice, Father, in Your love and Your mercy and Your grace. We pray that, Father, as we leave this place today, that, Father, we would not leave the same, but, Father, leave here touched by Your hand, that we would all leave here today thinking about the words that were shared. And, God, for your Holy Spirit to do a work in each and every one of our lives. Bless these people, Father. I pray over these families that you would open the windows of heaven and you'd pour out your blessings on each and every one of them. And I ask this all today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.